back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Nix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it, and they do.
Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds? Yes. Manningham on the sideline. Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you for the next 60 minutes as we break down all that is happening with the New York Football Giants. So glad you could spend part of your morning with us as we will take your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. You could also chime in on the conversation via hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. So the big news this week is the fact that the Giants will be kicking off their OTA offseason workouts. May 28th through the 30th will be session number one. Then they'll have one from June 2nd through the 3rd, another session on June 5th, June 9th through the 10th, and June 12th through the 13th. That will then lead into a mandatory minicamp on June 17th through the 19th. So they're really getting into the thick of the start of the off-season workout program, and this is the first opportunity for the players to start fully interacting with one another and the coaching staff to start having an opportunity to assess all of the different talent that they have brought into the mix. Throughout the course of this program, want to hear your thoughts about which new faces you're most looking forward to seeing over the course of OTAs. Could be a position battle that you're also keeping close tabs on, who you want to see emerge, who has the best opportunity to really take advantage of a void that was left behind by perhaps a departing player. So 201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Let's not hesitate. Let's get right to the phones, give you an opportunity to weigh in all that is happening with the Giants. And we start with Micah in Tennessee. Micah, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, Lance? How you doing, man?
Doing very well, Mike. How's everything with you? What you got?
Have you heard about Hausler? He's a tight end from the Cardinals. Apparently, the Giants have some interest in him. What do you think of him?
Well, I mean, I've heard some rumors. You're talking about Rob Hausler, who was with the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, at this point, I think the Giants have enough options internally on their roster, and considering they brought in some new faces as undrafted free agents, I don't know necessarily if they just need to start grabbing anybody that may be out on the market. Right now, I think that they have a good game plan in place. Adrian Robinson spoke to the media the other week, says that it's now or never. So he understands that he sees the writing on the wall. He knows this is an opportunity for him to emerge and take full advantage of a starting job. Grimble, who they just brought in, could be another big playmaker. He's got the size out of USC, and they have some other vets. So, I mean, Rob Hausler has been a productive player. Is he a game changer? I wouldn't necessarily go that far.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I was a little surprised to see that he had some interest in the Giants.
Well, interest, remember, though, keep in mind, Mike, is only rumors. You know, there are tons of guys that get interest all around the league. That doesn't mean that anybody's closing in on a contract at this point.
That's true. On the thing you said just a second ago, who I would like to see emerge, I honestly would like to see either Xavier Grimble, Adrian Robinson, or Robert Ayers because of Justin Tuck's departure from the Giants.
Well, Robert Ayers is a very interesting name who they brought over from the Denver Broncos. And as you mentioned, with some injuries and with some lost talent, the edge rushers are going to be key. They're really going to have an opportunity to make some names for themselves. And obviously with JPP coming off injury, there's still at least some question marks regarding not necessarily his status, but whether or not he's going to be able to pick up where he left off a few seasons ago. You also have DeMontre Moore in the mix, an opportunity for him to get additional playing time. But of all the names in the mix at that defensive end spot, Robert Ayers brings experience, and he's a versatile guy who has played multiple positions within the Broncos system. Jack Del Rio, who was the Broncos' defensive coordinator last season and is still their defensive coordinator, for the first time really saw where Robert Ayers' strengths were best utilized, and he moved him around. And Ayers talked about this when he joined the Giants. So, you know, he's coming off a very productive season, and you can never have enough guys that have a knack for getting to the quarterback. So that, to me, is definitely a name out of all the positions to certainly watch during the course of OTAs. That is definitely a good name to recommend out there, Mike. Micah, appreciate it.
All right, thank you, man.
You got it, Micah. Micah in Tennessee weighing in this morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you at 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat. We'll get to all of your tweets and comments throughout the program as well. Let's hop back to the lines. We've got Limar in Brooklyn. Limar, what's happening?
Nothing much.
How you doing? What's on your mind this morning? What you got?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, do you think Jason Pierre-Paul puts up like 15 sacks this year due to him being like 275 and dropping 10 pounds?
Well, I think that he's going to have a strong bounce-back season. To say that he's automatically going to be penciled in for 15 sacks, you know, that may be pushing it. To make predictions on sacks, you have to understand, Limar, and you know, I'm sure, from watching football over the last few years, it's such an unpredictable statistic because there's so many variable factors connected to that. I think quarterback hits is more key, and that, to me, is the best indication that a defensive end or any pass rusher in this league is having success in getting to the quarterback, not so much sacks. But I think overall, his productivity will increase across the board. I'm not going to go out on a limb and say that he's definitely going to get 15 sacks. I think he's going to make his presence felt, and that's all the Giants could ask for at this point.
Okay. So I'm assuming you're basically expecting a big bounce back from the defensive end like position, basically, in terms of just like sheer pressure on the quarterback.
Well, he's had a full offseason to recuperate and recover from his injuries. He hasn't necessarily gone under the knife. So, you know, it's not as if there's as many question marks as previous offseasons. And when he's talked to the media, he says that he's felt better than ever. So all indications are looking up for JPP. And I think that the coaching staff has high expectations that he's going to be able to get back to what he was doing a few years ago, specifically in his rookie campaign. So I think right now, expectations are through the roof, and everybody around here expects him to have a huge bounce-back performance.
Okay, thank you.
You got it, Limar. Appreciate the phone call. And the other thing to keep in mind, as the guys around him get healthier, and right now they are, you know, that should also help JPP's productivity coming into this season. And the fact that they brought in some rookies on the line, you've got some added depth, and I understand they lost Linville Joseph, but, you know, they have some young guys that have embraced their opportunity, specifically Jonathan Hankins and Bromley now, who they drafted in the third round. You know, there's guys that really can make a name for themselves and have an impact on this team immediately as opposed to waiting and see what they can do. You do have some veterans in the mix that are going to eat into the playing time of some of these youngsters, but there were injuries across the board. It wasn't as if JPP was the only guy that was battling injuries. I'm talking about specifically early in the season. The defense started to come together late in the season, but earlier in the year, you know, you had a bunch of guys dealing with multiple injuries. And remember, especially when it comes to the pass rush, you need guys on the opposite end of the line to take pressure off of you. So, for example, if you play on the right side, you want there to be heavy pressure from the left because all that's going to do is open up opportunities for you and you're not going to see as many double teams. The other thing that JPP needs to adjust to, regardless of whether guys opposite him are getting to the quarterback, is, you know, adapting to the additional pressure that is coming your way. JPP early in his career was an unknown commodity, raw talent. Once he started getting to the quarterback, defensive coordinators, offensive coordinators, everybody across the board is taking notice of him. So the offensive coordinators are saying to themselves, hey, we've got to bring perhaps an offensive lineman and a tight end his way so that he is not nearly as effective. And that means you've got to be able to win sometimes a one-on-two battle. And that was something that he had to adjust to from pretty much year two on. Then you tack on the injuries on top of that. You know, there's a lot of factors not necessarily working in his favor. Right now, though, he's healthy. He's animated. He's motivated. He's passionate. So I think there's a lot of signs here that JPP is due for a big bounce back season. And the other thing to keep in mind, that a number of you have brought this up, during the course of the offseason when I've been here to host programs, the fact that the secondary has improved across the board, too, bodes very well for JPP. Not that the secondary wasn't good last season, but I think that clearly most people would agree they've upgraded in that department, whether it be at the cornerback position, whether it be at the safety position. And forget just the starters. How about the depth chart? For example, Walter Thurmond, who's now going to be playing in the slot, he's arguably one of the best slot corners, and he's coming over from a program that thrived in terms of breaking up passes, being very aggressive at the line of scrimmage. So you take that all into consideration, just think about what that does for defensive linemen. I think that's also a big plus in the department of JPP. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can also follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We'll get to plenty of your comments throughout the course of this program. I also want to make sure that everybody had an enjoyable, restful Memorial Day weekend, and clearly we hope that those of you who are members of the armed forces and are obviously following the Giants from abroad or following the Giants from here in the United States, that you had an opportunity to spend some quality time with your family, because yesterday was an opportunity to honor those who have made the ultimate sacrifice. So we certainly thank everyone who is a passionate Giants fan, and even if you're not a Giants fan, those of you who have sacrificed your well-being to protect the rights for us here in the United States. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's happening this morning?
Nothing.
So what do you have on your mind? What you got? Tim, you still there?
Paul bounced back from his disappointing season last season and try to come to pass and try to sack. Try to get the pass break. Michael Strahan's single season sack record in 2014.
Tim, I understand the question you asked. I didn't hear the first player that you named. What player are you referring to that you want to have a bounce back season and get the pass rush going?
Bounce backs. Let's see.
Who is the player? What player are you referring to? What defensive lineman for the Giants right now do you want to see bounce back?
Mathias Kiwanuka.
Okay, great. Appreciate the phone call, Tim. Thanks so much for weighing in. In terms of Mathias Kiwanuka, last season was an opportunity for him to move back to his position of comfort when he went from linebacker to defensive lineman. That, you know, Kiwanuka wasn't necessarily dealing with injuries like a JPP, but I think that he's in the same position as JPP where the secondary should help him out. The fact that, you know, you have an extra few minutes, an extra few steps to get to the quarterback because you assume that the secondary is going to be in top position in coverage. So Kiwanuka is another name to throw out there with JPP. These are players that are not new to Perry Fuel's system, have had comfort with Perry Fuel's system, have had opportunities to gel within Perry Fuel's system. And he's another guy where expectations are high, and they expect that JPP, Kiwanuka, Robert Ayers, DeMontre Moore, you know, you look at those four guys, if you're at least focusing at that defensive end position, you've got a nice rotation between those four, assuming everybody stays healthy. And then you take into consideration the defensive tackles, the fact that Cullen Jenkins is back, and he was productive, and he has an opportunity to be moved to the outside as well as play in the interior. Mike Patterson returns, another veteran player that has had experience in the Perry Fuel system. Jonathan Hankins thrived when he had opportunities to get into the mix. You just drafted Jay Bromley. Marcus Kuhn coming back from injury. You know, it's not as if they don't have bodies. They have guys that are going to be able to foster competition this offseason, which is always a good thing. And Tom Coughlin cannot speak enough about competition. You always hear him talk about that. There is never lack of opportunities to compete for jobs here. They like to bring in guys who can play multiple positions because all that does is it helps them mix and match and it helps them bring out the best in some guys that may have solidified jobs. You never want to be content with your group. You always want to see where you can look to improve. And sometimes the internal competition is the best way to go about improving, not necessarily breaking open the piggy bank. And we've seen that in previous seasons. So Kiwanuka, JPP, two guys that have been mentioned over the course of our few first callers as guys that, you know, really you want to see bounce back. I think those are two recommendations and two guys that really hit the top of the list. Let's head back to the lines at 201-939-4513. Fernando is in New York. Fernando, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Doing all right, Fernando. What you got? What's on your mind? Fernando, you still there? Yeah, you got a rough connection here, Fernando. Try that one more time.
I said it's about the defensive ends. Like, Kiwanuka, he's been playing good for the time that he's been given on the field. A lot of people is soured that we lost Justin Tuck, you know, the way we did. You know, I felt some type of way about that too. But at the end of the day, you know, the Giants have to move on. I think Kiwi is going to have a nice season because he's going to have more, you know, time in game. So, I mean, for everybody that's doubting Kiwanuka, go back, look at his, you know, his tapes and stuff like that. He hasn't been given much time, but the time he has on the field, he does something with it, you know?
Well, you also need to take into consideration the fact that Kiwi's been moved around during the course of his career with the Giants. It's not as if he's had multiple years in a row where he's been at that same spot. So that impacts, obviously, the productivity of a player. The fact that they were able to get him back to the line last season. So now this is the second straight season where he's going to be playing the same position. And it's not as if they changed up the defensive coordinator so he doesn't have to learn a new playbook as opposed to the offensive players. So, you know, that I think is going to help him out a lot. And you're right, when he's been in, it's not as if he hasn't been productive, but you know, when you look at the defense overall, I think it's fair to say that as a unit they weren't necessarily getting to the quarterback last season. I think we're stating the obvious here, so everybody takes their fair share of responsibility in that department.
Oh, of course, everybody, you know, injured and stuff. I assumed that we wouldn't be getting back, but we did what we did last year. I felt good about the defense at the end of the season and stuff because they stepped it up.
Well, they finished 8th overall in defense when they were in the low 20s during the course of the early season. So clearly they showed a great deal of improvement. A lot of people are brushing that aside, saying, well, they didn't really go up against quality quarterbacks. You can't control who you go up against. And making the big jump from the 20s to 8th overall, I think, says a lot about how far this unit came and the type of impact that also a guy like John Beeson made on this team.
Yeah, definitely. But it ain't only, you know, the quarterbacks we go against. It's also the offensive line we go against. A lot of people don't see that offensive line has a lot to do with getting with the quarterback, you know.
Absolutely. Also, how quickly the quarterback gets rid of the football. And all of those things were omnipresent last season as to why the Giants had certain issues. But since a lot of guys in this league, specifically the quarterback position, tend to follow the same script, you know, you just need to adapt. And that's the one area that the Giants are looking for this offseason. If teams are going to get rid of the football, then they've got to be a step ahead of them, or they got to look to deflect passes. There's ways to counter what type of punches the offensive lines that you go up against or the quarterbacks that you go up against throw your way.
Oh, definitely.
All right, Fernando, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You can also follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow. Let's head back to the phone lines. Let's take a look, though, before we get to the phone lines, to some of your tweets. AJ Marshall at AJ Marshall 13. How many tight ends do you think will make the roster this season? Previously, they tend to keep in the ballpark of about 3 to 4. I would think, considering that there's really no one right now that jumps off the page, at least that has been proven, I think you're probably looking within that same ballpark. Right now on the roster, they've got 5. So assuming that the numbers cooperate at other positions and you don't suffer an injury, they're definitely going to look to keep about 3 to 4 tight ends, unless somebody really wows in training camp. But keep in mind, even if somebody wows in training camp, considering none of these guys have had the greatest track record during the course of the regular season, I think you need to protect yourself. So I would not be surprised if we're looking at 3 to 4 tight ends on the roster come the end of training camp when they start to narrow down the roster. You know, the other guy that usually in past seasons would help them get away with maybe not having to keep so many tight ends would be a guy like Bear Pascoe, who could play fullback and tight end. But you no longer have him in the mix, so you're not afforded that luxury. So that could also dictate and change what is going to take place with how this roster starts to wind down. Let's take a look at some other tweets here. Giants War Room at Mr. Ruiz 81. Kiwi has some big shoes to fill, and they lost Justin Tuck. So as Fernando weighed in and Giants War Room here, he's going to have an opportunity to not necessarily have to be a rotational player. There's an opportunity to step in this starting rotation and immediately make a name for himself. So I think it goes without saying that Matthias Kiwanuka is one of those players that the Giants are going to say, here's an opportunity. We expect you to do plenty of damage. So, you know, that is going to be one guy to keep close tabs on. And it's not as if Kiwanuka is not familiar with this system. It's always good when a player has a comfort level with the system, because that means that when they can slide him in as more of an every down player and they don't have to use him as a rotational guy, you assume that the transition period is not going to take as long as perhaps another player who would be thrown into the mix. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Eric in North Dakota. Eric, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
Doing very well, Eric. How about yourself?
My question is, can you hear me?
I'm here, Eric. Hello? What you got? Yeah, you're on the air.
Okay,
what you got?
Sorry. No, my question is this. What's the status of Mario Manningham for the wide receiver? Like, his status, is he still good to go?
Manningham is ready to go. He had dealt with some knee injuries in the last few seasons, but once he signed with the Giants, he gave indications that he was all clear, and everybody, before they sign with the team, obviously has to go through a rigorous physical, so they have every indication he'll be out working during OTAs, and he'll further that cause during the course of training camp. So there's really no red flags connected to Mario Manningham. I mean, clearly he's going to have some competition he has to deal with to solidify his roster spot, but there is nothing that indicates that he'll be held back in any capacity.
All righty. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You got it. Thanks so much for weighing in, Eric. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines, and no morning is ever complete until we hear from Steve in D.C. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, what's happening, man?
Doing well, Steve. How about yourself? What you got this morning?
Well, you know, I was going to go, Matthias Kiwanuka, but everybody's already talked about him. But, yeah, I mean, to me, it's a make-or-break season for him. But I don't really see how he can make the roster next year. But anyway, I'm going to go ahead and say Stevie Brown.
Well, Stevie Brown is coming off the injury, and considering, you know, Will Hill's status is up in the air, he's going to have an opportunity to pick up where he left off two seasons ago. So that's definitely another interesting player to watch, and you know that he had a knack for getting to the football and piling up those 8 interceptions 2 years ago. He was a big game changer, not just as a safety, as a special teamer. So, you know, that's another good name to throw out as a guy that can slide in and really make an impact in the secondary.
Yeah, well, not to mention, we need to get Victor Cruz back in a double-digit touchdown as well. So
you're talking about Victor Cruz on offense.
What's that?
No, I didn't hear you very clear. In terms of Victor Cruz, you're saying that you want to see his numbers increase on offense? Was that the point?
Yeah, I want to see his touchdowns. I want to see him back over 10 touchdowns or more.
Well, I think that you just want to see the big plays come back, to be honest with you, Steve. I don't know if it's so much the touchdowns. I mean, the touchdowns is what fantasy people get caught up with. If you get that big play-making ability back where, you know, they have a good balance between the short passes, perhaps in this West Coast system, and you open things up deep, hopefully Odell Beckham Jr. will really take some pressure off of Victor Cruz. That, to me, is more of a key as opposed to whether Victor Cruz is getting in the end zone each and every catch.
Yeah, definitely, but I enjoy
Well, listen, it's always nice if a guy can rack up double-digit touchdowns, because all that means is that the offense is clicking. So I think those things go hand in hand. But as I made the point earlier in this show, when you're talking about JPP and people are throwing out predictions about how many sacks, quarterback hits is a better indication than sacks as to determine how effective a pass rusher is, and touchdowns is not necessarily the best indication as how effective a wide receiver is. To me, it's more receptions out of how many targets and also the amount of yardage you're getting per game, because that means you're at least consistent and stretching the defense.
Well, definitely. I couldn't agree with that more. Well, hopefully Eli can stay. I'll be great if he can stay under 20 interceptions or less this year. That would be a big bounce back for him, and I look forward to that.
Well, if they can spread the wealth and wide receivers run good routes and there's no deflections and quarterback and wide receiver on the same page, I don't think it's asking for much for the interceptions to dip. Granted, he's had seasons before where the interceptions have been up. I don't need to tell you about that, Steve. But, you know, last year was a very unique season for many bad reasons. And the offensive line obviously was a contributing factor, as well as we've gone back and forth throughout the course of the season, his decision making. So if the offensive line improves, which it has on paper, you would assume that Eli's decision making will improve and that the interception should dip. I don't think that's a stretch of the imagination.
Hey, yeah, sounds good to me. Listen, buddy, thanks for taking my call. I'm going to give a shout out to my girl, Kashawn. Hope you call in. And let's go, Big Blue.
All right, Steve. I got to admit, I'm a little disappointed. I was expecting you to be a little feistier this morning, you know, more debate.
I had a long, rough weekend.
Okay, all right. Listen, we'll use that as a valid excuse. But, you know, the next time I'm here, I expect you to bring a little bit more excitement. I was prepared. I brought my A game. I was thinking Steve's going to call up. We're going to get some Akeem Nicks reference. We're going to get something about Eli. A little bit laid back. I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah, yeah. I know. You always bring your A game, man. You always bring your A game, buddy. But I'll bring it next time, man. I promise.
All right, Steve. Rest up. You got it. Get ready for the next version of Big Blue Kickoff Live. Steve in D.C. Always good to hear from him on the program. Let's head back to the lines, and I'm not getting it easy here. We go from Steve in D.C. to Shakes in Baltimore. Shakes, what's happening?
What's going on, man?
I am doing well, Shakes. How about yourself this morning?
I'm doing great, man.
Wow. All right. Well, that's good to hear. I like to hear that.
Yeah, the show is going good. We just went 2 hours yesterday, and that was good. We had Kashawn on there yesterday, too. So, Steve, you were asking for her to call in. She was on the Shakedown yesterday. Listen
well,
up,
don't try to steal all of our listeners here, Shakes. You know, allow us to enjoy some people here. Come on, you're killing us.
Nah. I'm always repping our BBK. Even on there yesterday, I was telling them, you know, go ahead and listen to y'all tomorrow. It's right after y'all get off, we hopping on. So, yeah, we doing big things on the Shakedown and Big Blue Kickoff. So, listen up, guys. Giant football talk all morning. Giant football talk all morning. I got a question for you, Lance.
What do you got?
Here's the thing, okay? We were talking about corners yesterday, and this came to my head. I was like, is Charles James eligible for the practice squad? If, you know, if we run out of bodies on the roster, will he be able to get put on the practice squad since he played so much last season?
You know, that's a good question. To just refresh my knowledge of the rules, I'm bringing up the protocol for the practice squad eligibility. Part of me feels he's not eligible, but I just want to have the exact language so that we can work that out. That's a great question to bring up. So here we go. Practice squad basics and eligibility. A player is eligible if he does not have an accrued season of NFL experience. Okay. If a player has one accrued season, they can still be practice squad eligible if they were on the 45-man active game day roster for less than 9 regular season games. A player is deemed to have served a season on the practice squad if he remains on the practice squad for at least 3 weeks, and players can be eligible for a third practice squad season if their team maintains no less than 53 players on the active/inactive roster. So when it comes to Charles James, when you look at what he did last season and you look at how much experience he has, he's been in the league now, we're talking 2 years. Last season, in terms of his total games, let me see here, bring up his numbers, and then I'll be able to have a better idea of whether or not he would be eligible. Let's see, Charles James. Yeah, he's entering his second season, but a lot of it obviously depends on how many games. And James was, you know, in and out exactly of the roster throughout the course of last season. They have him down as having 12 games logged last season. So when you look at the rules again, obviously, players gain an accrued season by being on the active roster for at least six games. So he's accrued one full season based on how many games he played last year. If a player has accrued one season, they can still be practice squad eligible if they were on the 45-man active game day roster for less than nine regular season games. Well, he was on the roster for 12. So at this point, I think it's going to be tough to find a way to get Charles James on the practice squad based on the math that I'm doing here and based on interpreting the rules and regulations.
Yeah, I kind of figured that because I was kind of hoping that maybe he can be available for practice squad because we got a lot of corners. And I don't know, we probably carrying about five or six, right, Lance?
Yeah, they're probably going to keep multiple corners because I think that it really depends on how many guys also they feel could be key contributors on special teams. Right now, you look at the cornerback rotation, you know, Dominique Rogers-Cromartie and Prince Amukamara are going to be penciled in at least as the starters. Then you're going to use, obviously, Walter Thurmond out of the slot. But then
right. You've
got Tremaine McBride, who you brought back, who has plenty of experience. Charles James,
right,
you mentioned,
right.
He has experience. J'Ron Hosley has experience and is still relatively young. And they also brought in Zach Bowman, who was with the Chicago Bears. So I just named three backups in addition to the three regular starters, let's assume.
Exactly.
And then, you know, a guy like Bennett Jackson, who is a draft pick, they can throw him on the practice squad. He's going to have a tough time making the roster, but you know they could probably look to keep. Yeah, you're talking about five to six corners, especially if somebody you know gets banged up during the course of training camp, and it's going to make it even more difficult depending on how many safeties they choose to keep. Keep that in mind.
Yeah, especially with the Will Hill situation.
Exactly.
All right. Last two questions, and I'm out. Okay. Do you see Hosley making this squad?
Well, he's going to have competition. I don't think it's going to be easy, and I would not necessarily say he's a lock. I understand that a lot of people have brought this up to me. You know, the Giants are pretty patient with their draft picks. It's not as if they all of a sudden cut ties with these guys, especially if they haven't had an opportunity to make names for themselves. However, you know, Hosley, a guy that had been used in the slot, Walter Thurmond's now in. And Walter Thurmond is hungry, and he's coming from a championship team. And then the other guys like Tremaine McBride, who I know has played on the outside, but, you know, he's going to look to make an impact both on the inside and the outside, considering he's not the biggest guy. It's not going to be easy. There's a lot of competition for the spot that J'Ron Hosley makes. I think Hosley is going to have to make an impact on special teams this offseason during training camp to really hammer down a spot. The fact that he hasn't logged a great deal of experience on this team may help him because they may say to themselves, you know, we have to see a little bit more out of him. We're not necessarily sold that we've seen his true potential, but it's not going to be easy. I would not necessarily say automatically J'Ron Hosley is on this roster when they make the final 53.
Yeah, because I'm kind of a Hosley guy, man. I like Hosley, and I'm hoping that he makes this team. But the thing about that is you just said it. He's going to have to contribute on special teams, and I don't see him as a great special teams guy.
Well, he's also going to have competition at the special team spot. You have to keep that in mind because you've brought in guys that are specializing in returning punts and kickoffs, so he's not necessarily going to be handed that opportunity. I mean, you brought in Tremaine Holiday, obviously, so Trindon Holiday, so you know, you got guys that are going to automatically come in, and they have a more proven track record. So you're right, he's going to have a battle in the special teams department, he's going to have a battle at the corner spot. It's a lot of competition all the way around.
Yeah, I agree. And my last question is, you know, the guys kind of, you know, joke around on me because I'm a big Mike Patterson guy. And I really think that Mike Patterson is going to have a key role in this rotation. But a lot of my, you know, co-hosts think that he don't even make the team. So can you please give them some professional advice and tell them that Mike Patterson makes this team?
Well, the Giants value vets, Shakes. I don't think we can overlook that fact. And the fact that, you know, they have some unproven commodities in that defensive tackle mix, considering Jonathan Hankins is still young. Jay Bromley just came in. He's young, too. Marcus Coons coming off the knee injury. You have basically the two guys, to me, that jump off the page, at least that you know, okay, this is what they bring to the table, Cullen Jenkins and Mike Patterson. who else are you turning to at this point, Shake? So I think that he's got an edge over that rest of the group, considering that he's been there and he's done that.
I think so, too. I think he would be the first guy coming off the bench when, you know, like Jenkins need a breather or Hankins need a breather. We're throwing in Patterson. And also, Bromley's going to get a lot of burn, too, you know, because he's a penetrator. And that's what we like, and that's why we drafted him third round.
Well, the Giants want to get more pressure up the gut from the interior. You can't just rely on the defensive ends. If you just rely on the defensive ends, you're not going to have much of a pass rush. The teams that have good pass rushes obviously get good pressure from the defensive tackles. So they hope that, you're right, with this nucleus, they can mix and match guys and have a knack to get to the quarterback. But I think you need your veterans, and forget the production of Mike Patterson. How about just the value of him helping to bring along the young guys? Think about what a Bromley can learn from a Mike Patterson.
Yeah. You're right, Lance. You're right. You got to learn a lot from him. Also, Quarles. Kelce Quarles.
Comes from a good system in South Carolina, played alongside Jadeveon Clowney, outperformed Clowney when it came to sacks. Not that that is necessarily the best indication of how effective a guy on the line could be, but I think he has a great opportunity considering that they have a number of young guys in the mix. You know, he's somebody that could really make a name for himself during OTAs and training camp and could perhaps pencil a roster spot in here for him.
Yeah, that's a name to look out for. Kelce Quarles and Xavier Grimble, two guys that went undrafted. Look out for them, Giant fans. And thanks for taking my call, Lance. I'll be calling in soon. When the next time you on?
I'm not exactly sure. I'll be out of town the latter part of this week, but I'll probably be making appearances throughout the course of this month, especially since, you know, Schmelk's got some other priorities to take care of,
considering,
the big event is coming up. I don't need to remind you about that, Shakes.
No, you don't. The wedding. That's
There we go.
Congratulations to John.
Exactly. Oh, we will pass your well wishes on to him, but you'll have an opportunity to give him some over the course of the next few weeks. You know, don't shy away. Don't act hidden here. We need you to throw some punches his way, Shakes.
All right, I got you.
All right, Shakes.
I got you, man.
Take it easy.
And,
good talking to you.
Like I said, thanks for taking my call. And check the Shakedown, Lance.
I will.
Don't do that to me.
I will definitely check in on that. You archive your shows on your site?
Yeah, it's on the site, and it's also on YouTube, too.
On YouTube, okay.
You can just type in the Shakedown and listen up.
I will take a listen. You got it, Shakes. We support our valued listeners and our callers. Appreciate the phone call, Shakes. Good talking with you. 201-939-4513. Piggybacking off of some of Shakes' comments, I think he hit it right on the nose. And the two guys that he named, the undrafted free agent group, if there's two guys to say, watch out, who have, to me, the best opportunities to make an immediate impact, I would agree. I think Quarles, in terms of the defensive tackle spot, and Xavier Grimble, who obviously could come in and really make an impact at that tight end spot, considering there's no proven guy in that group, whether you're a veteran or whether you're a young guy. So those two, I think, really move to the top of the list. Not that there's not other guys that can't make an impact, but, you know, those are the two. The other thing that you have to take into consideration, and I'm not trying to, you know, be a Debbie Downer here, but you know, Adewale Ajomo is one guy that comes to mind when you look at the undrafted group of players that have come into the Giants organization and wowed everybody, but then it hasn't necessarily translated to the regular season. So you've got to be cautious. A guy can make a name for himself during training camp, during the course of OTAs, but it's another thing of whether or not they can then elevate their game come the regular season. And you also need to keep close tabs on, okay, you're seeing it during games, but is the practice there? You know, are they bringing that intensity each and every practice? Adewale Ajomo was the example of a guy who really made a name for himself during preseason games, but translating to the regular season wasn't necessarily easy. So you also need to be cautious. Sometimes guys come in with great resumes, and it doesn't necessarily always carry over. 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's head to Twitter here, Joe Cherney, at Joe Cherney, one word. writes in, Lance, what's the latest on the health of Snee and Beattie? Well, Snee is a little bit ahead of Beattie because Snee had more off-season work, which was taken care of earlier on than Will Beattie. Will Beattie, if you recall, suffered the injury in the season finale against the Redskins. Beattie, he's making progress, but the Giants are not necessarily throwing him immediately into the mix where he's, you know, embracing constant fighting for positions with guys, and he's going to work against the internal competition each and every single day. I think that they're working him along slowly, and there's not necessarily a definitive timetable in place. To expect him to be ready at the start of training camp, I don't think is a stretch, but how much he can do, I think he's going to be limited. He is making progress, he feels confident, but they're not necessarily going to rush him back, nor should they. Because if you want him ready to go week one, there's no point of re-aggravating the injury or really pushing him to the limit. Snee is further along than Beattie because Snee had surgery much earlier than Will Beattie. So Snee, in terms of getting him ready to go for training camp, I think that there's not nearly as many red flags. He's been involved in the off-season workouts, weightlifting, working out, building strength. So he should be ready to go. Beattie right now, I don't want to say he's a wild card, but there's question marks. There's question marks because obviously they're not going to throw him immediately into the mix. Just because the team is starting to work out doesn't mean that Beattie has to be present. He's in the meetings. He's learning the new system. It's not as if he's watching from afar. But how much physical activity he can do is really going to be up in the air day to day and week to week. The last thing you want to do is have him suffer a setback. So that's really how they're looking at Will Beattie. Question mark in terms of how much he could do at training camp. He has every expectation to be ready for week one, but every player says that, and the organization needs to be cautiously optimistic. I think that's the best way to look at how they are watching Will Beattie from afar and determining whether or not he'll be ready to go. Because it's not as if he suffered, you know, some simplistic injury. It was a pretty serious injury where, you know, he needs some time to regroup. But they have every expectation that he's going to be their left tackle this year. It's not as if they're saying to themselves, we brought in two vets so that Will Beattie can watch from afar, start the vets, and then we'll work Will Beattie along very slowly. No, they want Will Beattie to be the starter week one. But to have him aggressively work out that injury during OTAs and training camp, while it's important, don't get me wrong, the offseason work, you know, gets you in shape, sets the tone for the regular season. But, you know, there's been a lot of veterans who have suffered major injuries over the course of the offseason or late in one regular season, and they've missed plenty of time and they've bounced back. I mean, Adrian Peterson's probably the exception to the rule because nobody has bounced back as effectively as he had at that position, running back, suffering an ACL injury. The offensive linemen obviously put a great deal of strain on their legs, and a lot of the legwork is key in terms of how effective they are as an offensive lineman. And, you know, I know a lot of Giants fans are going to say, well, Will Beattie, you know, has some work to do from a physicality standpoint, from a mental standpoint, and that goes without saying. He had a rough season. It's been well documented. I don't think anybody here is telling you or going to argue that Will Beattie is coming off a great season. But what offensive line is coming off a great individual season outside of Justin Pugh, who I think you could probably take away from the group and say, hey, Pugh showed a great deal of development over the course of the season. Everybody struggled for the most part, specifically Will Beattie. And when Eli Manning is sacked 39 times, you don't have to go so far to prove that point. So Will Beattie does need his offseason work to gain back his confidence and gain back his strength. But to be disappointed and say, why Will Beattie's not out there on May 28th for the first offseason workout, that to me is a bit of a stretch. Would you like to see him get some work in during the course of training camp? Absolutely. But there's no point of rushing him along. Eli Manning, for example, you know, they're taking a very, very patient approach with him. And Eli Manning, you can make the same argument about Will Beattie. Eli Manning should be out there, and you need him to build chemistry with the wide receivers. But once again, May 28th, there's no need to all of a sudden get worked up. You're talking about late July, early August. Yes, of course, you want to see some improvement from those two players specifically because you want to be able to get a lot of work in over that last month heading into the regular season. You don't just want to throw in a guy into the mix. JPP, for example, didn't get a great deal of work in during the course of the offseason last year. I understand he had surgery relatively late, and then all of a sudden you throw him immediately into the mix, then all of a sudden those first two or three games become preseason games. So you definitely want to get them working, but it's not as if you need to get them working in May. You just want to make sure that you can work them along slowly once you get into that August barometer, August timetable. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. I know we have a number of you on the lines. Let's get to Derek in the ATL. Derek, what's happening?
Good morning, Lance.
How we doing, Derek? What you got?
I'm well. Talking about, and I just want to make a comment on Ajumbo. Did he ever get a chance to play on offense? I mean, in defense? In regular season?
Say that again. I didn't hear who you said.
Ajumbo. Did he ever get a chance
Adewale
to play?
Ajumbo. Adewale Ajumbo. I don't have the numbers in front of me. From what I recall, I mean, he was inactive for a lot of games, but there was at least a game or two where he was active. You're right. I mean, in the department of having an opportunity to really make an impact, I would agree with you, Derek, from that regard. It's not as if he had a full resume to say, hey, guys, this is what I'm capable of doing. However, you know, they're evaluating him in practice every day, and there were some questions about work ethic and whether or not what he was doing in practice could translate to the regular season. So they were watching him very closely, and if you're inactive, it's not necessarily just because you're hurt. It also could be because you're not necessarily dotting all your I's and crossing all your T's during practice. You have to at least keep that in mind.
Yeah. I want to make a comment on Will Beattie also. Don't be surprised if he starts the season off on the pup list.
I wouldn't be surprised. Absolutely. You're right. But just because he, you know, starts on the pup list doesn't mean that all is wrong and that he had a setback. It's just that it's another step in just slowly getting him ready to go.
Yeah, no problem. The reason I call in tonight, I want to talk about the offense and basically how the Giants, you think, measure up to the NFC East teams. And I'm thinking that the other NFC East teams may be able to score 28 points average a game. Do you think the Giants can score with them?
Well, you brought in Odell Beckham Jr. to take pressure off of Victor Cruz and help stretch the field to a certain degree. So I think the fact that you have two speedy wide receivers now and you're putting in a new system is going to help the passing game. You have a relatively healthy offensive line, and Rashad Jennings should also be able to extend defenses with his receiving ability. 28 points, it's no lock. But getting them to consistently score between three touchdowns and a field goal, I don't think that's asking much. I think that there's obviously an opportunity to do that because if you incorporate more of a short passing offense, you should be facing much more manageable third downs, and therefore you'll have more downs and you'll be in a position where you'll be able to move the chains a little bit more fluidly. So I don't think that it's asking for too much to at least get three touchdowns a game.
Yeah, I don't believe. I mean, I think that the defensive improvements we made on defense, along with the running game, will take some time off the clock, may retard the other offense's scoring power. So hopefully scoring 24 points can add up to about 9 or 10 wins, hopefully 10. So,
well, you also need to take into consideration, you were saying that you think on average the rest of the offense is going to be able to score 28 points, but with the Giants defense improving, you would assume, though, the Giants defense, though, maybe holds opponents to under 28, and there's going to be some games where they don't necessarily have to score 28 to win. You know, defense, to me, should be able to do some heavy lifting this season. And the other thing to know, Derek, compared to last season, I think the special teams group, I'm not saying you can pencil them in for a touchdown every game, but I think field position is going to be changing dramatically thanks to the return games this year compared to the last few years.
That's actually a point that I was trying to call in and make, that we may be starting off on the 35-yard, the 40-yard line a lot this year, based on our kick return skills that we're going to have. And that's big because, you know, how many times you see the Giants start on the 20-yard line? I mean, those 15, 20 extra yards to start off for offense, is going to, you know, turn is going to be huge. You know, and I think the Giants can do that with Trenton Holiday and Odell Beckham Jr. So I think that's one part that no one talks about as much, but it is one third of the game and is an important part of the game. So
if there's one element of this team, we all get focused on defense and offense, Derek. I agree with you. I think the special teams unit, which tends to get overlooked more often than not across the NFL because guys are not necessarily valued, especially if they can only play special teams. But that's a group that the Giants have really been in need of a playmaker since really Dominic Hixon left and since he got hurt. I mean, there were years where he was on the team, but he was battling injuries and he wasn't necessarily effective. This is a year where, you know, you can pick your poison when it comes to the Giants, and you can have multiple guys that in a pinch can give you an additional 10 yards and just think about the amount of pressure that takes off your offense. So that could bode extremely well for the Giants this season.
Yeah. I got a couple of questions about, defense. Corey Webster, let's say someone like a Terrell Thomas, how come those guys don't get a chance to try to transition to safeties? I think you could play another year or two. I've seen Charles Woodson, a couple other players, transition to safeties as they get older as corners. And I'm thinking maybe even Jerron Hosley this year, based on Will Hill's issues, maybe give a shot to transition to a safety. What do you think about that?
Well, with Jerron Hosley, considering that he has a great deal of experience, and I know he played on the outside in college at Virginia Tech, but he's mainly been used in the slot as the nickel corner here for the Giants. My concern is in the height department and the size department. And there have been some small safeties in this league. Don't get me wrong. A guy like Earl Thomas on the Seahawks is not a big guy, and he's one of the most fierce hitters in this league. So you can transition, but I think the Giants are of the mindset we'd rather bring in a guy that maybe has a little bit more versatility, a little bit more size, and has more experience playing safety as opposed to experimenting and trying to move a guy over. Hosley is an interesting name to throw out there because, as you mentioned, Derek, he may have a hard time solidifying a roster spot, and it may be easier to be penciled in as a safety as opposed to a corner. That could be somewhere down the line that they look into. Right now, though, I think that they have other options that they can turn to as opposed to worrying about transitioning Jerron Hosley into the safety spot. Because remember, Cooper Taylor is still relatively young. You used a draft pick on him. You just brought in Nat Burhe, who's another guy who is just relatively young, and he's also on the small size. So if you're going to think about transitioning Jerron Hosley, I would say, well, why don't you just try to use Burhe, who's also a small guy and has experience on the collegiate level playing safety, as opposed to Hosley?
Well, and the thing I was thinking more about is we always hear about the defensive lineman, the offensive lineman being able to play multiple positions for the Giants. And I don't see why they don't get the opportunity for someone like a Jerron Hosley to get on the field and maybe play safety or another position. So I guess you would have to, only position he could play would be safety. But, you know, he's already playing the inside slot guy. So to put him as a safety and bring him down to play inside slot, you know, seems like a logical thing for me.
Well, I guess it seems like a logical thing also because we've seen Antrell Roll and Deion Grant in the Giants system play that slot position and also be out of the safety spot. However, you know, they went from more safety to corner. This is a little different. This is going from corner to safety, where you're playing from the line of scrimmage to all of a sudden backing up, whereas you're playing from a backing up position to moving to the line of scrimmage. I think the transition's a little bit different. I understand where you're coming from, Derek, and conceptually it doesn't seem very difficult, but I would think that the direction that Hosley would have to go, a little bit more difficult than from where Roll and Deion Grant had to adjust, because they're already seeing the field from a big picture perspective, so closing into a smaller area is not necessarily a tough transitional spot to go to, whereas Hosley, you know, he's looking at it from a very tight quarter. Now you're asking him to see the field from a big picture perspective. You've got to know which angles to take. Sometimes it's a little bit more difficult than it looks.
Yeah. Well, thanks for taking my call. And before I leave, can you just comment on whether you think Stevie Brown will start the season healthy? And I'll talk to you later, Lance.
Sounds good, Derek. Appreciate the phone call. In terms of Stevie Brown, I think that the Giants organization, including myself personally, every indication that he's going to be able to start this season healthy. Once again, you know, and it was thrown out earlier on Twitter, Joe asked about Beattie versus Snee. Well, Snee and Stevie Brown, to throw them in the same department, you know, they're well ahead in their rehab compared to where a guy like Beattie was, because Stevie Brown tore his ACL in the preseason last year. Snee got hurt early in the regular season where he re-aggravated the injury. Beattie, we're talking about regular season finale. So Stevie Brown, Chris Snee, yes, every indication they'll be ready to go. Beattie, a little bit more of a question mark because he is much further away from where Snee and Stevie Brown are in terms of how much headway they've been able to make in the rehab department. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Lance Meadow with you here on Big Blue Kickoff Live this Tuesday morning. So glad you could join us. Hashtag Giants Chat to weigh in on Twitter, at Lance Meadow. You can follow and interact with me directly. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's get to some of your tweets. I know a number of you have been weighing in as we have been taking some phone calls. Let's take a look at what a number of you have been saying. All right, we left off with Joe's comment about Beattie and Snee. Jay Smith at J-U-B-L-U-1 writes in, need Patterson to help Hankins Bromley grow with the vet presence. He played well last year, limited role. And that really piggybacks off of the conversation that Shakes and I were having. You can't necessarily just look at what Patterson gives you in the X's and O's department, but you have a relatively young nucleus at defensive tackle, and Mike Patterson is a seasoned vet, and it doesn't hurt to have a guy that Hankins and Bromley can look up to. So Jay Smith really echoing the sentiments that Shakes and I were throwing out there a little bit earlier in the program. Jay Smith also commenting on Shakes' point about Xavier Grimble being a big-time tight end, or at least has the opportunity to be a big-time tight end. You know, I'm a little cautious about crowning guys because, remember, there was a lot of hype surrounding Adrian Robinson, and it takes time for these guys to fully develop. But he has the size and the experience at USC. Jay Smith writes, Grimble is my sleeper to start. Yep, start. Like Crawls 2, America's Game highlighted. Cruz's undrafted moments can happen. And you're right. You look at Victor Cruz. Victor Cruz is the best example. Undrafted free agent. Came in, flourished within the Giants system. So who's to say that Grimble can't do the same if given the opportunity? And if I'm a tight end on this roster, I am licking my chops right now. Whether I'm Grimble, whether I'm Robinson, whether I'm a seasoned vet, whether I'm a guy that is just coming in and getting my first taste in the NFL. Larry Donnell, Kellen Davis, who's been a journeyman vet, came over from the Seahawks. Daniel Fells, also a journeyman vet. Now, all of those guys, opportunity staring them in the face. And most of them have talked about this thus far since they've addressed the media during the course of the offseason. Specifically, Robinson, everybody's focusing in on him because he's been plagued by injuries. He also, if you recall, when he came out of Cincinnati his rookie year, Cincinnati graduated later than most programs. So he stayed at school, graduated, and then joined the workouts a little bit later. Not that that's an excuse right now, heading into year three. I'm not stretching it here, but, you know, there's been a lot of obstacles that have been thrown in his way, but he had opportunities last year, and the injury bug just seems to be a killer. Now with a new system, with how Ben McAdoo's going to utilize the tight end, to me, I think that they can get somebody to really embrace this opportunity and pull out their full potential. And that's why I was saying leading up to the draft, you know, everybody was talking about got to go after Ebron, got to go after Nicholas, perhaps in round two, Federowitz, some of these other tight ends. I think the Giants always believe that they can take an unpolished commodity or a vet and get the most out of them. And we've seen that across the board with tight ends over the last few years. And they expect to do the same. And Ben McAdoo has had a track record working with tight ends. Is he Mike Pope? No, but he has a track record if you look at some of the guys that he's worked with during his tenure with the Green Bay Packers. All right, let's head back to the phone lines. Let's get Oliver in Denver. Oliver, what's happening? Oliver, are you there? Oliver, you're on the line. You there? All right, looks like we may... I'm sorry?
This is David.
David, okay. David, what's happening?
Hey there, how you doing? You know, when I look at what Jerry Reese has done, okay, I'm just getting amped, Lance. I mean, and then I found out over the weekend that Odell Beckham Jr. is the nephew of the great Shaq Diesel. Oh, my goodness. The genetics in this kid.
Well, it does bode well that he has connections to Shaquille O'Neal, and that was documented on Giants.com. And you're right, that story stole some headlines over the course of the weekend. Even if he's not connected to Shaq, he's got a tremendous amount of versatility and athleticism with what he's been able to showcase. And they have big expectations for him, not just because he's a first-round pick, but because he can contribute on special teams. You know, there's a lot of things that he can bring to the table.
Yeah. Now, I've been looking at the later draft picks, especially, I think his name is Berhe.
Correct.
Yeah, Nat Berhe from San Diego.
San Diego State.
And this kid, when you see him and they show him on close-up, Lance, his eyes is intense. He's up there looking and scanning. And he's very instinctive, and he glides to the ball. The play that he reminds me of, just he's smaller because he's a big-time hitter like the player, is Tim McDonald from USC. Now, it would be good if he could turn out a little bit like that.
Well, I agree. From what I've seen on film, I mean, comparing him to certain players and seeing how he can turn out, you know, I think we're still a little bit early in the game. And, you know, you wonder how much playing time he's going to get, considering that they have some more established vets at that safety spot. But to me, the most attractive element of Berhe is that he has played sort of a hybrid position in college. And the Giants, as you know, with Perry Fuel, how they use Deion Grant and Antrell Roll, like to have their safeties play out of the corner, play the safety spot, be as a linebacker, and he comes from that mold. So that is something that I think is going to help him moving forward, where he has a comfort playing in one position, one game, and then perhaps being moved over to a completely different position in the next game. Also, being utilized in the pass rush. His versatility is something that, to me, is going to fit very well within Perry Fuel's defensive scheme.
Okay, last thing, and this is for you, because I know you're going to be at the OTAs. I just want you to, for me, to look at Mr. Marcus Kuhn and the Pancake Man, Herman, and tell me if there's any improvement.
Well, those are two guys that a lot of eyes will be on. And, David, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. He was referring to Eric Herman, who was a late draft pick for the Giants last season. It was on the practice squad. When it comes to offensive linemen, I mean, this guy obviously gets check marks in every category because he is a playmaker and he is an intimidating force. But it's all about his development and whether or not he can take the next step in his development to certainly make an impact on this roster. But Eric Herman is a guy that is going to be thrown in with everybody else, and he will have an opportunity to compete. And this is another opportunity for him to step in the right direction. There's going to be, though, a lot of other veterans that they've brought in that are a little bit ahead of the game, but that doesn't mean that Eric Herman can't embrace his opportunity. Marcus Kuhn returned last season. He started the season off on PUP, but this is now an opportunity for him to put even more work in during the course of OTAs and training camp. And considering they lost Linval Joseph, you know, he can have an opportunity to not just necessarily be a rotational guy, but be a guy that they utilize more down to down. And he showed flashes during the course of his rookie campaign. It's just a matter of whether or not he can gain his speed and versatility back after suffering, obviously, that serious knee injury. So this is going to be another key offseason for him. You have a number of guys that are returning from injury. You have a number of new faces. You have a number of undrafted free agents. I mean, there's a nice mix on this roster. Now, that's what Jerry Reese and company did. They brought in just a varied group. You have your usual suspects, your guys who you know what you're going to get out of and got through the season healthy. But you also have a great deal of veterans and rookies who are going to go out there and compete every day. And that's why when you look at this roster, there's a few guys that obviously have locked in their jobs. Eli Manning, there's no question. Victor Cruz, there's no question. There's competition at the running back spot behind Rashad Jennings. There's competition for that third wide receiver spot. There's competition at tight end. There's competition at corner, specifically in terms of the depth chart. Offensive line, it goes without saying, for all the backup roles, great deal of competition. There's even competition for the starting center spot between Richburg and Walton. So across the board, I mean, you could pretty much name every position where somebody is trying to hold off another guy, or somebody is licking their chops because they have an opportunity to come in and be penciled into the starting lineup. That's never a bad thing when it comes to the roster. You want to have this type of depth. You want to have this type of competition because, if anything, they were lacking depth at multiple positions last year. And how do we know that? Well, guys went down, were getting hurt left and right, and there was somewhat of a drop-off when it came to the next layer of defense, specifically at the offensive line spot. That's why they were playing a game of musical chairs, because they didn't necessarily have a guy that they could say, okay, right tackle goes down, this is the guy we slide in. No, right tackle goes down, we then have to take the right guard and move him over. And then we got to take the center and move him over to guard and then bring in the backup center. You don't want to be put in a position where you have to do that over again. You want to have your five starters on the offensive line, and then you want to have five guys that are right behind them on the depth chart so that if your center gets hurt, you just plug in another center. You don't take the guard and move him around and then switch around the tackles, because that's what they had to do all of last season. And I've been reading responses from fans, reading stories that, well, you know, if Beattie's not ready for the season, you take Pugh, you move him over to left tackle, and then you slide in a new guy at right tackle. Well, how does that make sense if then when Beattie comes back, Pugh is ultimately going to have to return to right tackle? So why not keep Pugh at right tackle and then just put in a left tackle so that you don't have to move and manipulate your entire offensive line? That's exactly what the Giants had to play out last season. Why would they want to repeat that script? That, to me, would be taking a step backwards. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. On Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can follow and interact with me, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Before we wrap up, let's get to some of your tweets here, because obviously a number of you have been weighing in. I've tried to address a number of the ones that came in early. Let's take a look at some of the recent ones. Jay Smith, who has been very active on Twitter, writing in, Burhe over Hosley at safety all day. Hosley will have a tough time making the squad this year, even at the slot. And that was one of the things that I got into it with Derek earlier in the program. Derek was saying, you know, Hosley may have a better opportunity if they transition him to safety, because we've seen a number of other corners later in their career. He brought up Charles Woodson, who I think is probably the best example to throw out there that eventually made the transition and still obviously played pretty good football even at his new position. But with Hosley, the size disadvantage, as I mentioned, going from corner slot, nickel slot to safety as opposed to going from safety to corner slot, I don't love that transition. And that, to me, doesn't necessarily bode well. And as I mentioned, Burhe, he's 6 feet tall, not a huge guy. He's got a little bit more height. He's also young. He's got plenty of experience playing multiple positions. I would throw him into the mix before I'd necessarily take Hosley and try to have him adapt to a new position. Grimwood, at Grimwood, Patterson is just a very good player, referring to Mike Patterson. Anything else is a bonus. Patterson is a very solid veteran player. best way to describe him. You know what you're going to get out of Mike Patterson. It's not necessarily a guessing game. You can throw him in as a rotational guy. He can start for you in a pinch. And he's a good guy in the locker room. He's a veteran guy. He understands the playbook. I really don't think you need to stretch it or you need to sell the audience as to why you would try to keep a Mike Patterson when it comes down to your 53-man roster. Let's take a look at some of the other tweets that are coming in. Patrick Wallace at Wall, P-A-T-R, short for Patrick. A healthy Stevie Brown doesn't give me a secure feeling. While he was a ball hawk, he was burned too often. Well, I mean, if you break down the film, listen, every safety here or there is going to have their fair share of breakdowns. Some of the top ones, not as many breakdowns as the others. Were there times where Stevie Brown was beat? Absolutely. And I think the interceptions tended to cover up sometimes some of the breakdowns. But Stevie Brown right now knows the system. You have to look at it from that perspective. And compared to some of their other safeties, he has a leg up in that department. Cooper Taylor still digesting the playbook. Still adapting to what it takes to be a safety at the NFL level. Burhey just walked in the door. So Stevie Brown and Antrell Roll, to me, are the two guys if Will Hill is not able to play. You want to say you want to give a rookie some playing time? Absolutely. You throw the rookie in the mix. That doesn't mean that you pencil him in over Stevie Brown. So Stevie Brown, to me, Antrell Roll, those are your two starters. All right, let's take a look at some more tweets here before we wrap things up. Barden at Neo Hybrid X. I agree, but it would go as far to say that the D-line is at least as good as it was last year, probably better. Well, the D-line doesn't necessarily have as much depth on paper, but you've got guys that are healthier. So that bodes well for you. And you brought in some youth that also has had a knack to get to the quarterback. So those are positive signs overall for the Giants. And then Barden also weighing in on the mixing and matching with respect to the offensive line. Laid out his alignment. Pugh at left tackle. Jeff at right guard. Either JD or Richburg at center. We have enough bodies to throw at right guard. That leaves right tackle. Well, I know a lot of people, as Barden has been thrown out, want Pugh to move over to left tackle. But Beattie, even if he's not ready for week one, he's coming back. So what happens when Beattie comes back? Now you all of a sudden have to change the complete alignment of the offensive line again. Whereas if you keep Pugh at right tackle and you just slide in a veteran at left tackle, then when Beattie comes back, all you're doing is you're just changing left tackle as opposed to then have to move Pugh all the way back to the right side and then insert Beattie. To me, that's really utilizing the same script from last season, and it's not necessarily the best game plan moving forward considering some of the struggles that they had last year. So that will wrap things up for us here on a Tuesday morning on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Great calls, great tweets. As always, any tweet that I was not able to address during the course of the program, I will try to address off the air. The archive will be going up later today, so if you missed the program live, you'll have an opportunity to listen in to what fellow Giants fans have to say as we get you set for the start of OTAs. The first off-season workout gets underway tomorrow, Wednesday, May 28th, and that will go for the next 3 days till the 30th on Friday. Then they'll have a breather, and then they will pick up activities the following week. Thanks so much for listening in. You can follow and interact with me on Twitter at any time at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Lance Meadow signing off. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll speak to you each and every morning here on Big Blue Kickoff Live at 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Have a good one.